A community leader dedicated to the re-socialization of society and reintegrating them into a living healthy lifestyle. With us today on Call to Serve, we have Maseke Libele, the founder of Libele Developments and Walkie Talkies Communal Walking Group.
Okay, I'm Maseke Samuel Libele. I'm 40 years old. I'm turning 40 this year.
Yes.
Okay. I know I don't look 40. My hairstyle is a little. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a Soweto boy.
Yeah.
Born and brewed in Soweto. You see, I've got two sisters.
Okay, yeah.
A half brother. My elders, we share the same dad with my older sister, and my younger sister's got her own dad. I'm proud to say we grew up in a very beautiful, humble home. Brought up by a single mother. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I didn't have a father figure, so my mom was my every cup of strength that I could use in life. Each and everything that I am is because of my mom.
Your mom.
There's no other man who made me the man that I am today. Except for my grandfather, you know.
Grandfathers.
But you know, a father,
the father relationship, figure.
Something that I never had. But my mother made sure that I have everything that I need. But she's as strong as a man. You see, hence all her children are as successful as they are today. You know what I'm saying? So I grew up being very vibrant on the streets, very sporty, you know what I'm saying?
You're quite a trendy, popular guy, actually.
Trendy because of my friends. I loved life from the inception. There's no sport that I didn't play. You see, ballet. You know, drama. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Who didn't want to. I always want to try something out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hence, a lot of people connect to me very easily. You see, I give people the chance. You know, I'm not always. I don't always want to stand out. You see.
So you're quite open-minded.
Yeah, I give people a platform and praise them. You see, as much as I want to be praised, like I'm a happy guy. You know what I'm saying? Since from our young, sweet 16s and 18s, you see, that's why all the women liked us, the ladies liked us. You see, we were out there, even now, but times have changed, you know, we've grown up, it's time to do different stuff.
Responsibilities now.
I had a chance to when I started, you know, overindulging in social stuff, like alcohol and smoking, and not following exactly the path that my mother wanted me to go to, you know, academic. And you see, I was a good soccer player, played for the best soccer team in the country. From development, I played for Kaizer Chiefs. You know, and then the adolescent life came, you see. After teenage life came, then I went off track, you know, partying too much, and you know. Then I decided I got an opportunity. Like, I decided, no, this is not the life for me.
Yeah.
I was out of track, failing at school, you know, wasting money, you know what I'm saying? Not having any direction in time of school, you see. So I decided, no, let me move. You see, my sister was staying in Middleburg, in Mpumalanga. So I signed up with Boston City campus to go and study. Because I had an opportunity here in Gauteng, it didn't work. Sports manage. I started doing international marketing management at the Varsity College. Failed that. Went to Red Tech, did sports management. You see, then I met this other subject called physiology and what just made me drop out. I couldn't even understand the word they were saying.
But at least, you know, it's just people get to know that you flunk. when you get to varsity. It's normal. It's not something that is woo-ha, you know. It's something people need to understand that in life there's places where you fail, but you need to pick yourself up.
You know what I'm saying? It's part of your journey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So never give up on your journey.
Yeah.
No matter how much you stumble.
Yeah.
You always know that there is a light that is your light.
Yeah.
Your own light. You know? Yeah. So I decided, okay, let me go and start. What do I like? What do I love doing? Because I understood that I was studying things that I didn't like. Just because I was playing sports, I loved soccer. I decided to study sports management. And it was not what I really loved. I loved nature and geography and history. That's what I excelled in high school.
Yeah.
So I decided to take something along those lines. This was the best
decision,
the best studying I've ever done in my life. That's what made me a bookworm from there. I aced that diploma. It's a high diploma in travel and tourism management. I aced it, bro. You know, I was a top student at my college there. You see, I had a trophy. You see, I got a trophy. There is my principal behind. She actually wanted to be me to be a lecturer. To stay in and be a lecturer. But I had to come back home, you see, because I wanted to work and my son was already on the way. So I was, you know, a bit nervous of the responsibility of being a dad.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know where I was coming.
Especially not even coming back from a background without a father figure.
I came back hyped up, bro, to Joburg, hyped up, telling myself I'm gonna get a job with all my lovely qualifications and you know what I'm saying?
Then reality struck.
I struggled. You know, I recall working in the pubs, you know, promoting this other washing powder, soap, new tablets. So I'm in the aisles, you know, my ex-girlfriend from high school came through like this, looking, she was a model, she was a model I'm seeing on TV and, dude! I ran.
You are ashamed.
Not understanding that it's my journey.
It's yours. Nobody will walk through it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was my journey. I had to stand up for myself. This was my life. I had to tell. I had to greet her. You know, and tell her. Oh, this is, but I didn't have that in me. You know what I'm saying? That was so messed up.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So, what actually helped me to become what I am now is my struggle. I suffered a lot to actually get a job.
Yeah.
You know, to get that internship, that start. You know, you have all the qualifications. You know, I ended up being a top travel consultant in the industry.
Yeah.
You see, only when I decided to, I have to grow.
Yeah.
I worked. I worked for Transnet. I worked for Legacy Lifestyle. You see. I traveled, they helped me travel South Africa.
Yeah.
You see, all the provinces, all the nice hotels, you know what I'm saying? So it gave me an outlook of what I really wanted.
Give you perspective.
And after traveling my country like that, you see, I decided I have a duty to sell my country to my people.
Yeah.
You see, to actually show them how beautiful it is. They mustn't just watch it over the TV. I want to take them to their country. You know, I want them to know. You know, how honored, how much wealth they have in their hands.
They don't know.
I want them to know, you know, how we stand with the world, how the world sees us. You know, how much of a resource we are for the world.
Yeah.
They are using us because we're not taking it seriously. You know what I'm saying? We're just being overcrowded, you know, by the cultures of the other world. We've lost ours. They're all over. You know what I'm saying? That little time of unemployment showed you a lot of glitches in the government. You see.
But besides governance, in the industry you're in.
In the industry, yeah.
Because tourism has a lot of. It's too much of. It's either expensive or there's too much of. Classism, basically.
No, that's why they don't understand about tourism.
Yeah, no, I'm saying just perceptions going on, you know, when you see it on TV, you can see that some things are overpriced. You can't, and locals are overly charged, you know, so to speak. Yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of challenges in that regard. And for a regular Joe who would be like, okay, I want to go to Free State.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, eh, these things are expensive. These things are not for people like me, because you
don't know.
Yeah. There's hardly any information to say, you're still welcome. Come.
Things like that. That's things that I actually wanted. That's my market. Is a local tourism.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. When I get international clients for whatever I do, it's a bonus for me. But I'm more at home. See, I'm more about teaching people about their own
environment.
Yeah.
So now, fast track. I think you've traveled. You've seen a lot. You know, perspective has been changed. You know, through your experiences. Now let's fast forward it to, I think, 2 years ago when COVID came into our country and lockdown was introduced. You know, people traveling became less, and people went broke. People lost jobs, and now you discovered a walking trail. Yeah. You know, and a hiking trail. Yeah, you've discovered a hiking trail in Soweto, your home ground, basically. Yeah. Now, how did you come about that?
Okay, the hiking trail was a gift from God. I can say that. The hiking trail came about how you explained it was perfect, that we were facing turmoil in communities, in families, everywhere because of COVID. COVID locked us down
initially,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it actually stripped us off of everything that was interesting in life. Out, eating out, you know, exercising. You couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Chatting to people.
Yeah, you were just loafing around.
Yeah, and it actually made us prisoners of our own lives. You know what I'm saying? I can actually see the after effects of what it did. You see, so how I came about with the hike is, I actually thought that because of that local market I'm talking about. It's time to introduce a different type of vibe, because we come from, it's sort of like a spiritual wall where we were from. You see, all doors were closed. We couldn't even go and pray. We couldn't even go and buy our own things that we want. Everything was just, you know what I'm saying? We were locked. You know, we were told, don't sleep. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do we were robots. I'm like, this is our life.
Yeah.
You know, it all, and shows the blasphemy and danger and corruption that other nations have. You know what I'm saying? So, because of this is a man-made thing. There's no way God can do this.
Yeah.
There's no way God can keep his people like that.
Mm.
So. Yeah, I decided, okay, let me find them. Okay, I'm a very spiritual person, outdoor person. I like my own space, especially in nature. I liked walking around the dam. There's like a whole forest around those old mine dunes. You see, the trees have grown, very tall trees. You see, walk around there. I'm like, no man, I have to bring people here. I love this place. You see, I found like a cave, you know, one of the first places where they used to mine. You know, it was vacant to mine gold, the first ways. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was awesome. That cave was awesome.
Before mining companies.
Yeah, the actual first mining companies that came to the main reef.
That's the
way they used to mine. You see, going and sending down our people down there to chirp. That cave was man-made. You can see it's man-made. It's not any drilling or it's old rock. I'm told. So I found mine shafts that are outside that people can see, that actually have that Gregorian style building. That old, you know, those balls that you get at the zoo. So it shows that those people who did that own the zoo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were called the landlords. You see, they did all of that. the setup of the dam, how they used to mine first using water only, not dynamite, you know what I'm saying? Even if mining developed
as time goes.
So the mine that I developed this hike on was left vacant for years. We grew up playing there, we grew up there, like I know it in and out. We used to hunt. Each and every guy from my uncle used to chill that side. You see, we learned to swim at that big dam, you know, even though our other friends died, we had to grow up, but it was our playing ground. I found a lot of, you saw my pics maybe when I do my hikes. There's a lot of beautiful places that I found, like discover and take people through there and tell the whole story of Soweto and Joburg and the Gold Rush. And I explain the geography, I explain everything about it. It's a spiritual, historical and motivational hike. So I thought people needed that. Coming from COVID, you needed space to find yourself again.
Yeah.
You know, I pray with people and I hike. You see, like
So now I'm trying to understand just the dynamics around the whole mine. The mind chart, basically.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to understand when it came about. It came when the government said it's an opportunity. You know, when as lockdown measures were being eased and they were starting to say, you can go hiking, they started promoting that.
Actually, hiking never stopped. Okay. I was like, hiking never stopped. That's where, because hiking
was one of those things where people thought, it was marginalized
for white people, like a white sport, just like horse riding, all the water sports, you see. There's some sports that are marginalized, like they belong to a certain
group.
That's what I was actually gunning to fight for, to actually show my people that it's not like that. You see, I'm working on putting water sports in that vacant dam. There's nothing happening there. You know what I'm saying?
Makes sense.
They must be canoeing there, jet skiing. It's closer to the hood. You don't have to go to Harties and go to the Val and do it here. You know what I'm saying? Do it here. Bring it to the people. You'll be amazed how much support you'll get.
Yeah.
You see, you'll be amazed how much love you'll get. You know what I'm saying? I've taken about 300 people on this hike of mine. About 100 of them have come back with other people. You know what I'm saying?
Makes sense.
It's very awesome. And all types of people. Kids, you see, old people, international people, white people, colored people, you know, big groups.
There's a lot of people that
individuals, you know what I'm saying? People who have actually helped people get over their problems. You see, people actually got attached to that hike as a sort of therapy.
The coping mechanism
for them. Like, you see, like, oh, dude, I went to a hike and things started coming right in my life at work. And I need that hike again. It's open. You can always come. You see how much, if I can change lives of a few people, if we open our minds and think alike, you see, and think in a positive way, it's the change they will see is very amazing.
Yeah.
If you take it, like, take a chance to step back in the right place. You know what I'm saying? And look at life at this different perspective. You see, and try and change stuff. You know what I'm saying? We can see it's bad. We can all see it's bad. So what is it gonna help us complaining and blaming people?
And you know, with COVID, it had a psychological effect. A lot of people went depressed. Some people that became exhausted.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think a lot of people in this case as well, the anti-socializing. That's where it came in. You know, now. In moving from the hike, from the hike, you started with walkie-talkies, which is a community-based, a communal walk, basically. What inspired that? I think it must have been partially inspired by the walks, the hiking trail, but holistically, what inspired it?
What inspired it is I felt a sense of putting the community together where I grew up. You know, I started to see different behaviors that I didn't know of.
How so?
You know, through the kids, you know, how kids are indulging in stuff that are not, in stuff that they not should be, that they shouldn't be indulging in.
Oh, they're too young for that.
Yeah, they're too young, sex, drugs, alcohol at a very young age. I'd say this is my root platform. I could say I know everything that happens here from since I grew up here. You see, I know how certain age groups should behave. You know what I'm saying? So if I see a different attitude and behavior, it started to worry me. I wanted us to regroup, you know, regroup from all phases of my community, not just our street. You know, our street being, no. I wanted to bring everyone together so we could talk about it. And that's what really happened. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things that we discussed on our walks, you know, dropped off. They sat in people's hearts. We discussed them with other people. You see, I'm seeing the lifestyle of my friends has changed. They have a healthy lifestyle. You know, not like drastically, but you know, I can see habits, eating habits, you know, cutting down, smoking, doing this. Sometimes taking, like, a person that I've never seen run alone, I'd meet them saying, no, I come from a run.
I'm now walking.
I'm like, you see, it's doing something. You see, that's what I actually wanted to do by this walk.
You know, so people can come together. You see,
it wrapped off the senior citizens. You see, we actually boosted them all up. You see, they started, they were only 8 or 10. You see, at the max, you see, trying. But you see, when they also see us in the morning, oh, these are our kids, you see. And we push them, you see how many they are. They're about 60.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. A lot of them, they still go, they want to go. You see, and another thing, I want to tell you the main purpose. I helped my younger sister established a running club. I helped her do that, and she did it very well with her friends. It's still running. So that's where I saw that we can really come together by doing different stuff. See, we can't always be meeting, go to party, at the soccer ground, and let's do something different. And we must consider that there's a lot of different asses. You know what I'm saying? There's other people who are more, you know, we are not all extroverts. There's people who are reserved. See, there's other people who don't want to be in groups. See, why the walking? Because I thought there's other people who don't like actually running, but they want to exercise, they want to be out there, you see, and do something more calm. You see, walking is perfect. You see, I don't run anymore. I just walk and I hike. I don't run. I've ran too much in my life.
So now, with regards to the walk, it has had quite good inspiring marginal growth, you know. Over it, there's other communities surrounding Protea, and even close to your hiking trail, they've had initiatives which are duplicating what you're doing. Now, did you think it would have that impact?
You know, when you set your goals, ultimately it was for Soweto, not just my brother. I wanted it to rub off other communities, but I wanted it to start at home. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of communities from Soweto look up to
their neighborhood.
To Protea North specifically. So all these international trends, you see, and cultures are actually going to mess up what we have here. We are a really special community. You see, a lot of stars have come out. I'm not saying other communities haven't got stars and legends, but a lot of, you know, that we look up to have come out of this community. And that's and more is still going to come out. More has to come out because we are the seeds, you know what I'm saying, of those trees, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. So we should actually group up, you know, group up and motivate each other, build each other.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? This thing that we're going to struggle with in Aupe, and it affects our community. We must come up with systems to fight
to fight it, you know what I'm saying? It makes sense.
Yeah, we have to, because it affects us.
Mm. It does not affect.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it's
some other people out
it
there.
It affects us.
It's a direct.
Not even all the people.
It is a direct impact.
Not even all the people who write down the rules for us and tell us what to do, it doesn't affect them. Whatever happens in our community affects us. You know? You know?
So it makes sense. It makes sense. So now, how would you like to see basically your walk, this communal walk, together with its growing, the movement, the kind of movement that's growing to become, you know? What is the ultimate idea around consolidating this movement and making it into one? Because remember, when we are working in silos, there won't be much of a difference. But when there's a unit behind it, when there's unity, it grows and it has a huge, a bigger impact.
I'd like this work to become a culture, you know, a culture in our community. Like sort of a mandatory thing.
Mm.
If I may put it, like, you have to do health. I want it to be a health base for our families. You see, I want it ultimately to be a sports club where you can actually go to for anything that you want, any type of sport that you want to do. You see, I was trying to explain why I was joining up the aerobics and the running, and because ultimately we wanted to build a multi-purpose sports facility. You know, because as you can see where we start our walk,
it's a shopping complex,
you know, where we walk is around the streets, and you know, we should have facilities, we should have a park, a walking path, you know what I'm saying, at the periphery of our, it's there, you know what I'm saying, that's things that should be done, you know what I'm saying, around the whole community of Soweto. All the open spaces should be developed into something that's feasible for the community. Hence, it's going to kill a lot of unemployment, a lot of idle minds, you know what I'm saying? They're going to be active, you know what I'm saying? Let me tell you, I registered Livela Development with my sister. I have a franchise, Rainbow Parties, a kids entertainment franchise. That's what made me, but that's what actually put out that love for kids. You see, so, and the need for me to actually focus on kids a lot. Yeah, you're lucky for me to do that work. I focus on kids. Yeah, I love kids because I believe the only way to change is if we teach these kids when they're still young, show them the correct path and show them the correct ways of doing stuff. And go back to the original ways of doing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
So in moving from, we're still on the walk.
Yeah.
Now, with the initiative of the walk, you have an event coming up.
Yeah.
On the 24th this month. Now, I understand also there's one taking place in the Midlands this weekend. Now, can you tell us more about it? About the details involved in that?
So, it's coming back that I just have to ride this beautiful horse, you see, that I started nurturing, because it's running.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I have to play along, you know? I can't just leave it like that when I see that a lot of positiveness is coming from it, you know? So, as we're discussing, it actually motivated itself by starting to walk. All the ideas of launching it like this, getting sponsors, came out from the morning discussions. You know what I'm saying? Hence, we got about, look, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 sponsors, 5 sponsors. There's one I haven't told you about. You see, there's people who can see the good that comes out of this. You know what I'm saying? So, the work that's happening tomorrow in Midlands, the sponsor that is going to sponsor our event, reached out to me saying, it seems like you've got a lot of followership. You see, can you help us drive? I know it's short notice, but because I'm that type of positive person, I won't say, no. I said, no, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah, so
makes sense.
The past 2 days I've been rounding up people, netball teams, soccer teams, aerobics, karate teams in Meadowlands, you see, just to come and join me. The walk, it's just the walk, you know what I'm saying? Meet free stuff over there. I was like, we're coming. That's the vibe we need.
Yeah.
You know, after being locked down, you need to fight for your freedom.
Yeah.
You know, meet new people, you know.
Socializing.
You know that mask, bro.
Mm.
People can talk. So that psychological pressure of that mask. You know, people can't talk to you anymore. You know, others even avoid talking to you because they don't know what to say, how to say it. You know, it's a matter of catching up. Other people cannot, like, they've died inside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm trying to revive, to take them out. You know what I'm saying? Take your body out. You know? Don't let your life die. You have to live. You know what I'm saying? You never know who you're going to meet.
And you don't.
Yeah, people must learn to.
Yeah, and also COVID, as it seems, our country has now recovered. It's we are almost ready to reintegrate as a society and live a normal life again. You know, it's those are good news. You know, something for a change that's healthy.
You know what I'm saying? So hence I started with the new type of vibe. You know what I'm saying? Not the ordinary soccer, and you know what I'm saying? We have to
reinvent the wheel.
Yes, and do different stuff.
Yeah.
Make this life interesting, man, for us, you know? Yeah, like.
That makes sense. So now, with your walk and the whole hiking, are there any intentions of later on maybe trying to get people outside or from within your walks that participate in your walks to actually try and explore your hiking trail and try to reinvigorate the sense of, guys, you can still go travel and as much as you are walking, but now you are introducing obstacles and hurdles which are natural instead of just having stones and wheels put in front of them and saying it's obstacles, but this time now there's a spiritual aspect, there's all those details. Are there any plans to try and to introduce them to your hiking program?
That's how marketing works. You know, you do something to connect it with another, to make them interlink. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you need something to revive. Like you walking cup, let's say. You know? Guys, this Saturday we're going for a hike.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's go out as a walking cup, let's go for a hike. I'm not saying we're gonna start hiking now. Let's just go for a hike, do something different. You know what I'm saying? They all look up to it. So I think ultimately they will interlink
as time goes by.
As a sport club. At the club, you'll get anything that you feel.
So now, if anybody were to take something from you, especially the younger generation, because your primary focus is the younger generation, if they were to take anything from your life, what or how would you advise them, or what would you say that they should take from you as inspiration?
They must have drive. You know, they must have drive, they must never give up on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they must never tell themselves that they cannot achieve anything. You see? And they must choose carefully.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, they must choose carefully. They mustn't mimic their friends and find idols and people to look up to. You know, the most perfect people to look up to are the ones who helped you grow up, who nurtured you, and you know, you don't have to look for mentors.
Mentors.
You see, that's why I speak a lot about my mom. You know, she's the biggest source of life.